Extra Points is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use, because it's safe and secure, and because you get your winnings fast now. Winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Extra Points so they know I sent you. Let's do the show.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Thursday morning. Mikey Meatballs is here. Spaghetti is in the air, flying to Hawaii. Whoa, big break, big break. He must think that Ranger series is over, Sheck. He's gone.
That's all I can take from it. You gave me junk for going to the aquarium during a Penguins playoff game. He's going to Hawaii.
Unbelievable.
How dare he? What kind of fan is this?
I don't know. Well, we're going to talk hockey without him. We're going to see if we can do it. Although it's a lot more fun with him, I have to say, especially when we're talking about Trouba throwing elbows and stuff like that. We have Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess, and you heard him right there. My dear pal, Dave Damaschek, and my other dear pal, Martin Weiss. I do want to mention we won race to 10. It was me and the degenerate trifecta last night. We bet the Celtics to score 10 before the Heat, which is not as important as what was going on in the world. But I did put it out there that I'd match anyone's donation up to $1,000 to everytown.org, concerned citizens who deal with gun violence. We did even more than that. We ended up raising a few grand. So that's nice. Good job by all who donated, and good job by the Celtics who won another rock fight, Martin. These are getting good. 93-80. I can't complain too much because I had Horford 15 plus points and I had the Celtics minus 9.5. And those were both pluses. And also, check, I think you mentioned on a podcast, we're going to have none of this in like 2 weeks. So what are we going to do?
I know. Right. I can get all wound up and complain about the poor grade of basketball and Trouba's elbow and so on and so forth. But we'll pine for it. Right.
We will. Not that long from now. Right. We're not going to have a game.
A lot of baseball.
Night.
But listen, I don't want to get doom and gloom about the world of sports. They serve as our nice distraction, obviously, from the ugliness outside. Here's the good news. Here's a sunny way to look at things. As soon as these playoffs are over, what's going to stop us from talking about pro football?
I was going to say.
Nothing. Nothing is the answer to that.
Football better be in your next sentence there. Yeah. All right. But until then, 93-80, Martin. I don't mind the mid-90s style game, you know, a little bully ball in there. And I actually do think a lot of these missed threes were contested, whereas we've seen games in like the more wide open West, these guys, big 6'8", 6'10" guys missing wide open shots. It wasn't that, but Jesus, 17 for 78.
I mean, I'm sitting there watching the game and it's just remarkable. Like watching the Miami Heat, who I've been championing for the last 3 weeks on this podcast, me and Dave, you know, odd bedfellows, but here we are.
Right.
Well, they're banged up. I mean, that's the excuse.
Sure. With Hero, maybe a little bit of a difference, but.
But I mean, like, and I get it, everybody's talking about the other. If you look at it, the Heat only won two quarters. It's like, well, they also won two games, and they had an opportunity last night. If you win that game, you have now it's best one out of two. Mm-hmm. And 82% of the time, you got a shot. And they just laid down in the fourth quarter in a way that, like, and I'm here for guys if you want to go and try to play through it. But, like, a Jimmy Butler, if you're airballing that little short corner shot, maybe you're doing us a disservice by being out here.
They were really bad misses, I noticed. They were like
deflating.
But again, it was defense played, so I don't want to get too much down on it. But 17 for 78, and they weren't hitting the rim. And sometimes when they were hitting the rim, it was parts of the rim that I didn't even see before, right? Like, they're hitting, like, weird parts of the rim. I can't explain it. But Lowry, Strus, Oladipo, 1 for 22. Sheck, I know you said 2020 is the asterisk year, the year the Heat made the finals, lost to the Lakers. Is it this year, or is this how we're going to see basketball? I don't know.
We attempted a good conversation about that on -3 that's available now with Kevin Hench. And, you know, he loves his shooters like nobody else. He is one himself. And so he admires the guys who can do that best and you know, who doesn't. But, yeah, we're in a weird spot, and I can't figure out if it's two sports analogies I'll make. One is that it's optically unsatisfying or disorienting to me that you get a guy who can penetrate all the way to the rim, and then when he could finish for two, he instead kicks it out for three. It's like soccer. Like, I watch soccer, and when they get close to the box, and it's like, well, shoot the ball now. Then they swing it out wide. Like, what the hell? It doesn't make any sense what you're doing.
Right.
That's one issue.
Yeah, but that guy's kick is worth one. And whoever he passes it to, if that guy scores, it's worth one. Here, it's like, oh, I'm going to pass up two to get three. So I don't think that mindset is going to change.
Well, and it's also, as Hench said, and I think is right, it's the ubiquity of guys who can get by doing it. Not aces. This is not Larry Bird. Steph Curry knocking him down from 35 is impressive. When every guy on the team has to have that in his arsenal, mm-hmm. It's the one I always go to. Now, here's a movie analogy for you. You know, in The Incredibles, when who's the kid who wants to be like Mr. Incredible, but he gets kicked out and then he becomes a bad guy? He has the great line: when everyone is super, no one is. Mm-hmm. Now that it's a bare minimum requirement that whether you're 7'3" mm-hmm. or 5'11", that you have to be able to shoot that ball. It's a weird bit of strategy that then leads me to one other sports analogy, which is college football running the spread offense. When everyone's doing it, it's an unsatisfying watch. It's just not good. Okay, the NFL, everybody was running the West Coast offense. Like, what are we doing?
Do we appreciate Martin? Should we maybe? I think this is what I'm going to do, because it bums me out to no end. And maybe it's just me that it bums out more. But I'm going to start appreciating the Ja Morants and the Trae Youngs more, the ones who do take it to the hoop. Mm. Not when they go 3-for-20 from three. But, you know,
got to.
Right.
You have to champion the play at the rim. Otherwise, I mean, obviously this is going to be. But Dave, I don't have five analogies for you. But the reason why this is not satisfying is because
you got to give us four. Otherwise, leave the room.
I got maybe one at best. Two.
All right. Give us one good one.
Well, I mean,
I thought that Incredibles one is pretty good. I use it a lot because
incredible.
The Miracosta High School basketball team is not shooting 1-for-27 from the floor.
Yeah.
And like the starting backcourt for them, the point guards, they're not shooting 1-for-27 from the floor. Right now, Max Strus and Kyle Lowry, number two, they're shooting a grade point average, 3.6 from the floor in the series. 3.6%.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know, it's bad. And it shouldn't happen at home. And it probably shouldn't happen ever.
It shouldn't happen in the NBA.
I get it. I want to give the Celtics credit for playing defense, but that number is bad. But here's the thing. Is this just a freakish year? Or is this what we're going to see in the playoffs? Because maybe the defense has stepped up a little more and maybe there's more nerves, or for whatever reason, are we going to see these terrible numbers for years to come unless they change the dimensions? Or it's just like, shut up, Sal. It's just a weird year. Just deal with it. I don't know. I hope this is the anomaly here.
I've been betting against the Celtics all postseason.
Well, that's the thing.
It's been costing me money, and maybe this is set with a little bit of vitriol. But they feel to me, if they do end up winning the title, it feels to me like the 3 years from now, I have a feeling we might be looking at it the same way that we look at the Lakers title now, where, you know, if Phoenix had, if Anthony Davis was healthy, they would have lost in the first round. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you know, if KD and Kyrie had got it together.
Except this year it has nothing to do with injury. It's just a year that everyone forgot how to shoot.
Well, Middleton got hurt. Jimmy Butler was averaging 30.
Oh, it's going to be something.
But Jimmy Butler was averaging 30 a game in the first three games. Then he sits the second half, and now he scored, I think nine.
Played 40 minutes, though, I think.
Scored 27 points in the next three games. He's scoring 9 points a game since missed that second half. Like, he's, even if he's out there, he's not great. But I can't let this get going by about this game without saying Bam Adebayo. That's the other guy who's supposed to be here.
Mm.
You got Kyle Lowry. I get that he's, you know, won a championship before, but, you know, but he's not going to be a 20-point a game guy. It's not why he's there. He's there to unlock Bam.
Right.
And I get the whole Max Strus here. He's undrafted and this and that. We find guys from everywhere. Well, Bam was a lottery pick. And in the last two games, it seems as if the strategy was, look, he's the only guy that can do anything about it. We're going to shut him down.
Yeah.
And
once they saw Butler wasn't wasn't making baskets. That's the next target there. Yeah, I don't know.
Inconsistent.
So, but we can make money off of this. That's the good news, right?
I'm
betting the post.
And I want to hear that.
-9.5 Bet them all. You'll get pluses all over the place.
One more thought, though, for you. And I'm not attacking analytics. I like them. I know that people hold that like it's a religion or something like that to some degree. they get offended by it, at least if you say bad about it. But I do think it's an analytics based decision by coaches and general managers, which is that the final score, like you say, the kick is worth, and a successful three is worth one more than
more
two
points.
And I think the math has been worked out by smarts that if you shoot like 34% from three, then you will win more games than you lose if you can collectively do that. The problem is it's an unsatisfying watch.
Viewing, yeah.
You know, it's sort of like tricking the game to some degree. It's almost like,
but
I don't know if people get
close to 34, but
you know what I mean? But I think
3%. At some point, you got to stop.
And I think there's diminishing returns to that.
Yes.
I asked Mitchell Schwartz about it when he went way back in football season about teams that don't run the ball. I think the 2-point, like going down into the paint, going, posting up, laying the ball up, that's essentially running the ball. In basketball, like everybody would love to drop back with Patrick Mahomes and throw it 15 times a game. But if you don't have a running back and an offensive line that can go get you third and four when it's advantageous for you to run the ball, when there's only five or six in the box or whatever, then you don't have a good offense.
Yeah. Well,
beware the Detroit Pistons, the bad boys. Beware the New Jersey Devils of the mid 90s, because if it succeeds, then that is the style that everybody will adopt.
Yeah.
And it's bad. It's a bad watch. And you can argue around it. I mean, it begat the Heat. I mean, people swoon about those Knickerbockers Heat showdowns, and they were fun because they would get into fights, but the quality of ball was lousy.
Well, it's like pro wrestling in the early 1980s. I mean, Bob Backlund would have a headlock for 15 minutes. They unnecessarily went like 45 minutes, these matches. But it's kind of the same thing. Slower is preferable, and we romanticize it and all that. But
what you need is, the point is that you need somebody to disrupt that brand of ball.
Yeah.
And so you need the zig against the zag of the league. And Embiid has to do the bare minimum, which is step out and make a three once in a while. But at least the Sixers, in hindsight, now I miss them, because at least they would pitch it down to their big man who looks like he has a limp every step that he's ever taken in his life, and just dominating you on the low block. At least it's different than what we're looking at. Every team is the same, basically.
All right, prop quiz. Jason Tatum, second youngest player to reach 1,500 postseason points. Who's number one?
Really? Straight age, not...
How else would you determine?
Seasoned youngest in the league.
I got you. No, in terms of age.
Moses Malone. Comes
into the league at 18. You know. Yeah, he wasn't.
It's not Moses.
I'll say Kobe.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. Nice. See, people forget about Kobe. No, nobody forgets about Kobe. All right.
Listen. But that's one of those, I saw the stat and I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Been here a while, for real.
So the series, the way it stands, is now the Celtics just need to win one out of two. Game six is tomorrow. Celtics 9-point favorite, Martin. That's the biggest we've seen in a couple weeks now. Certainly for this round, for either East or Western Conference. Celtics -1250 to finish off the Heat. The Heat +750. Are you biting? I don't know what would have to happen. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Heat went in and won by 20 against the Celtics. Would anyone be shocked at any result at this point?
I mean,
I guess I'm asking a few questions there. This series is over.
Yeah, this series is over. It would just be like, go figure, right? Because I mean, how 1 for 27 from the floor? That number has to add up. Like they were just talking about, you want to shoot 34%. It has to eventually run back. These guys are professional athletes,
right? I agree. I'm saying it's over, Shaq. You're saying it's over. Is it over tomorrow?
Well, I mean, it's the same as looking at the dub series, too. And you're like, 7 seems heavy for a team that just more or less got blown out, the final score notwithstanding, in Dallas. And the same thing with the, like, 8.5 is what I'm seeing it at right now.
They're going down a little bit
for the Celts at home. And you think, boy, oh, boy, that's a lot of points. And then you look and say, Well, if you think that one team's going to win, then obviously the number should be no concern of yours, because no game is a single-digit game. If you think the Celts are going to win, then of course lay the 8.5 or
nine. It is surprising, though, with the results that we've seen to see. I mean, we'll get Dallas is 5.5. What? I mean.
So we could get to that. Yeah, so now this is.
I'll take the Celts based on the injuries. I mean, that just seems like that's it for
The only interesting thing at this point, Tatum -150 for MVP of the series, Jaylen Brown +155. I think Jaylen Brown's been the force this guy. I mean, he had one bad game. Game four was not great for him. Tatum's had two bad games, games 3 and 5, not MVP. Like, I'll probably give it to Tatum, but you can get
whoever
plus
plays
money
the
on
best
Jaylen
in
Brown.
The closeout
is
game.
It the one more? All right. So that's it. So I might rather have the plus at that point, but let's preview, as you said, tonight, check Golden State Warriors -7 home 215.5 against Dallas. That was from an hour ago. I imagine it's the same line. Let's check on,
I see it
right
at
now. Seven and 215.5. Like I said, Dallas won big. Actually, they only ended up winning by 10. So if you did the -9.5, you're a winner. I'm taking Dallas here. And I know I'm going against the grain because the Warriors are 7-0 in playoffs at home. And a lot of those are blowouts. The Nuggets played in tough at home, I think, right? They lost by 4. The Grizz lost by a few. But for the most part, Dallas has been destroyed by Golden State when Dallas is on the road. But let's read this for a second. Luka, when facing elimination, I think this is from Nick Wright, at age 21, 38-9-9 versus Kawhi and PG-13. At age 22, 46-7-14 versus Kawhi and PG-13. At age 23, this year, 33-11-8 versus number one seed Suns, 35-10-4 versus number one seed Suns, and 30-14-9, that was the other day, against the number one defense, Golden State. I know he could have a good game and still lose. He scored 40 in a losing effort the other day, but I think they get up on the dubs, and nothing's ever close in today's NBA. So, Martin, I am taking Dallas adjusted -5.5 at +430.
So,
how about that?
You and your adjusted lines and
don't get
and
in my way.
Maneuverings.
Don't do it.
I'm not. I'm telling you, they've inspired me.
Really?
They've inspired.
You're going the other way. Warriors -27.
Now, this is what I'm going to do. I thought about it last night, and it should have worked. Because first, I want to ask you guys a question before I get into all of this. Would you have left the bench in as they're whittling down the 30-point lead that the starters had given up?
The other day, Dallas.
Dallas Golden State, like with the Moses Moody's of the world, just Jordan Poole and the Golden State four?
I don't know anymore. I don't know. I haven't seen a big comeback in a while, so maybe that is the case.
Like, I'm trying to figure if I was just so desperate for a competitive fourth quarter that I started to sit up on the edge of my seat and said, wait, are these guys really got to close this game out with the bench?
Yeah.
Or if it was just, you know, I don't know.
FanDuel has first quarter totals for, like, I think you could have bet for players. They had Luka was 10.5 and Tatum was 10.5. Not obviously not the same game in the first quarter. I'd love to bet these guys fourth quarter. Give me under 4.5 points for Luka in the fourth. Give me under all these guys who don't even play the fourth quarter.
So I like where your head's at here. Sal, I think the betting the first quarter, Golden State in the first quarter.
That's what you like
on that. I like that a lot because these teams in closeout games.
That's my play of the day.
That's it? First quarter?
That's your bet?
Oh, my God.
I like that quite a bit.
This is embarrassing now. This is embarrassing.
Well, that's a good one because, as you see, it pretty much happens, and it transcends just the NBA. It's also true in the NHL. These teams at home in a closeout game come out understanding the moment. Now, it gets away from them as the game goes along.
I just read you Luka's numbers in a closeout game.
I heard you, but the first quarter, I bet you Golden State gets up pretty good in the first quarter because they understand. You know, by the way, as a side note, we should celebrate, guys. And I celebrate Luka, this shit-talking, smiling guy on the floor who gets under the skin of everybody who he's playing against. And he backs it up by matching shots, if not outdoing his foes across from him. I love that. And I hope that because he, you know, they're getting closer and closer. I think circle these Mavs. Let's watch their offseason to see if they are the favorite out of the West a year from now. Meantime,
I'm not counting them out yet, but you say Warriors -2. Martin are both saying -2.5, Martin, or you're taking -1.
Yes, I like that.
I'm taking the Warriors in the first quarter for my play of the day. You know, I take the play of the day seriously.
All right.
I'll try to give out a winner to the listeners of this Extra Points Network. But for fun, yeah. I told Mark I was going to do this on Lemon Pepper.
Yeah.
I took two units, split them all on the unders for all five starters. So then right. Steve Kerr, of course, puts Steph and Clay. I'm like, what are you doing?
Different way to get to the other.
Leave them. Yes. Right? So what I'm going to do here, take the two units again, and I'm splitting one on the four Mav starters that's not Luka to go under their point, rebounds, and assists.
Brunson under, points, rebounds, assists. So combo.
All of them. So all of them. So Brunson, gotcha. Finney Smith, Powell, everybody to go under except for Luka.
Bullock. Yeah.
Bullock.
All right. I don't see Powell right now, but you got Brunson 22.5, Finney Smith 13.5, Bullock 12.5, and you say not Luka.
Yeah, everybody but Luka. Right. I'm betting the under.
Okay.
And I'm taking another unit.
Dinwiddie's 15.
And I'm putting it on. There you go. Maybe Dinwiddie to be the.
Yeah, but
I'm taking five players and I'm four players. I'm putting under on the
all
Mavericks.
Right.
And I'm taking the Mavericks on the money line.
All right.
Because either one of two things are going to happen. The Mavs will win. And
the Warriors will win.
Wait, don't spoil it, Shaq. Jeez.
I'm sorry.
Either the Mavs will win and all of those totals will go over.
Right.
Or they'll lose and get completely blown out. And all those guys will be on the bench in the fourth quarter.
All right. All right, so that's that game.
I just am surprised on a human level, and I admire the Mavs. It's something I don't have, which is the gumption to say, like, yeah, let's win this game. We'll go up to San Francisco. Like, man, your season's over. What do you want to take an extra flight for? I think Golden State isn't the same. I think they're going to be like, oh, well, we got to go back to Dallas. They're going to be like, nah, I want to rest. Let's win tonight and be done with this. And so we're nice and fresh for the finals.
7-0. All NBA teams were announced. Giannis, Booker, Luka, Jokic, Tatum. The big snub, at least the one everyone's talking about. I know, Martin, you're going to have a problem with this. And it does. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense that it's a snub. It's being labeled snub. Embiid, not on the first team. Because it's not positionless, right? So you have to pick either Jokic or Embiid. And people argue back and forth with that. I think if positions don't matter, Booker's out and MB's in, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? If that's how you do the top five without positions?
I agree. I would have had Embiid on the first team and Jokic second team, but that's because I thought Embiid had a better.
Yeah.
But I really don't have a big issue with the idea that it's not positionless. Like, I would have been fine. Like, if you really thought that they don't play different positions, like they play smack the same position. Like, it's not like one of these guys is moonlighting at the four or one of these guys. No, they both are big centers. And yeah, Jokic will flow to the 3-point line a little bit more by design. And then Embiid kind of does it because he wants to. But still, I mean, my issue is with the MVP, not necessarily this.
Well, do these guys, first of all, do they get paid extra for that? I don't know the answer for this. Is this if you get the first team? Is it a contractual thing?
I'm trying to remember.
They probably get paid out on that. But for somebody who loves the history of sport like I do and, you know, creating the hierarchy of who ranks where and ahead of whom, it does kind of matter as you look back, you know, especially with guys who maybe you didn't see play or you vaguely recall playing, you do kind of lean on those numbers. You go to Basketball Reference and see like, he was a four-time All-NBA guy. Like, it does kind of matter. And I guess I could be raw if I were Embiid, because while people maybe overstate, everybody is positionless. It is pretty fluid 1 through 3, at least, what position you're actually playing, what you're defined as on basketballreference.com as an SG versus an SF is like, is anybody really applying that? It only really dings the guys.
Well, here's where Shaq, I think it applies for us idiots like us. We could, because there's positions assigned, we could go back in the time machine and say, all right, would the 2022 first team beat the 1994?
These are my favorite conversations.
That's it, right? If you don't do it, if you just do top five, it gets a little muddy. Now you're just paying, all right, would this all-star team beat this all-star team? So,
but even though basketball is positionless, like they say, it's not like we're talking about Kevin Durant versus Nikola Jokic. Like, Embiid and Jokic play the same position in positionless basketball.
That's why you have to pick one. No, but I get it.
Yep. The bigger problem that I have, somebody voted for Kyrie Irving to make the NBA third team. And I just want to know, in this country,
that's right.
you know, we should probably, disenfranchisement is probably the wrong way to go, you know, the state of the country as currently stands. But is it possible to get it so wrong that you should have your vote stripped? Because how could Kyrie Irving qualify for any?
Well, I don't think it is. I mean, what was the football one that just was crazy? Aaron Rodgers, who voted? Oh, the Chicago sports writer. What did he do? He said he's not voting Aaron Rodgers. What the hell was it?
He didn't vote Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he didn't like him because he let his, I mean, his argument was, yeah.
He put it out there that Rodgers lost. Is that who it was? Put it out there that he didn't have his vote because of the vaccine.
But I'm pretty sure, didn't the guy vote for Brady, though? Like, a vote for Brady in the MVP conversation is not egregious.
Right, yeah.
A vote for Kyrie Irving to the All-NBA team.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
You're either not watching the games, of which he didn't play, or you're making a statement, and either way, it's shit, what you're doing.
Sports guy's buddy. He came clean on ESPN's halftime. Jalen Rose.
He did.
Yeah, Stephen A. was about to throw him off of the set. You would have thought he'd throw him in on Biscayne.
That was it?
Yeah.
Curry, DeRozan, Durant, as you said, Embiid, and Ja Morant for second team. LeBron, third team, with Chris Paul, Siakam, Carl Anthony Towns, and Trey Young. Second time LeBron gets third team in, 18 years? He only played 56 games. So what are you going to do? I don't know. It's stuff that probably shouldn't matter, but we love it. We really love it. We love FanDuel. The 2022 NBA playoffs. Do the same game parlay. Playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook throughout the playoffs. All customers place a no-sweat same-game parlay. Each week, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play. Best of all, when you do win, you get paid faster than a fast break. See what I said there, guys? If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code EXTRAPOINTS. Once again, that's promo code EXTRAPOINTS. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. No sweat. Either way, $20 free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Hey, I did this the other day and it hit. So you could bet like Luka triple-double or Luka double-double, and it kind of sucks because you'll come one short or something, but you could adjust. You could adjust their play, their rebounds. You could adjust their assists. You could adjust their points. So if you get Luka, I'll adjust like 28.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, not quite a triple-double. You're not getting triple-double payout, but those are right around his average, and it's like -140. So that's an example of a same game parlay.
It's like you can have it your way.
You really do. You say exactly how many, and the assist is the problem. No, I don't want to say the problem, but that's what he's going to average the fewest over there. Meanwhile, it was the points that was trouble getting over last game. But anyway, that was a winner. Lots of winners. Anyone's watching these NHL playoffs is a winner, Schick.
So true. Lots of fun. And the trend that I will repeat, that has caught my eye and has paid out pretty well is the game totals, the goal total between the teams. If you see these two teams in a series and they consistently are going under, continue to ride that and or the over with these teams. So,
well, the first period under, to be more specific, is hit. What is it, Mike Meatballs? Like 18 out of 22 or something after going like over the first seven. Definitely ride and take advantage of the trend. So you watch Colorado, St. Louis.
A gem and prescient John Hamm joined us, not just handsome, but insightful, talking about his Blues and that they're not going to go out quietly. It's and true. That rally, I was
down 3-0.
Yeah, me and Jean-Claude Van Damashek and Hoover Damashek were out for a bros night, you see, at the batting cages and then a burger. And when we got up to leave, it was 3-0. It was like, well, all right, I'm going to see the end of this game. And then I get home to see the Blues tie it with a minute left in the game and then win it in OT. I can't believe it.
But then McKinnon gets the goal, the hat trick, to go ahead. You're like, it's over. Now it's got to be over.
And I saw that clip on Twitter and I tweeted, this is going to make me switch as the Celtics were.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as the Heat were just on a 2-24 run.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
but what a goal by Nathan McKinnon in the big spot. Everybody's looking at him. Save us, Nathan. Save us. And he does. Or at least you thought he had.
Yeah. And St. Louis wins 5-4 in overtime. So now game 6 is tomorrow. Avs -900 to win the series. plus 590 for St. Louis. Would you take John Hamm's? I mean, could all good things happen to John Hamm this weekend? My God, Top Gun Maverick premieres and 6-1 odds for St. Louis to win the series, or is it over? I mean, Habs, I don't know if they lost. Have they lost on the road, Michael, in the playoffs? I thought they had that going. I think they might maybe were undefeated on the road.
They did win both of the games in St. Louis.
Yeah. I'll look it up, but what do you think about the Avs chances?
I mean, listen, I talk about the curse of Spoelstra, and boy, is that Colorado team saddled with that extra baggage right now. They mortgaged the future for right now.
Right.
And this series was over. Mm-hmm. You're up 3-0.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be done. Rest up, get right, move on, get ready for whatever team survives the Battle of Alberta. And let's say enjoy a gem. Now they got to go to St. Louis. Now it's scary.
Yeah.
All that said, the Avs are so good, they should have enough skill and put at least one more goal behind St. Louis to survive. But man, they are going to be feeling tight. I mean, they're until that puck drops again, man, they got to be sick in their balls that they blew that game.
Well, yeah,
it was over.
They are 4-0 on the road, and not only that. In the playoffs, not one goal games either, right? 7-3 against the Preds, 5-3 against the Preds, a 5-2 against the Blues, 6-3 against the Blues. So,
and a soft goal, right? Mikey Meatballs, nothing worse. We talk about it. The gut punch of soft goals really hurts the whole team. Now they have no confidence back on the back.
Well, but
end.
I mean, you would have thought with Mike Smith, he gave up the softest goal in a decade.
True. Yeah, that's a ever so slightly undermining the Battle of Alberta, trading soft goals at the start and end of games.
So I guess we want to talk Jacob Trouba. It's not fun without Eddie here. His latest
it's not a dirty hit. He just hit him out. His elbow was in.
Well, Martin, jump in here as someone who doesn't is really like not watching every single play, but as a maybe non-hockey fan or a new hockey fan, what did you think when you saw that on Domi?
So I thought that this I didn't think so my comparison is from Marty McSorley to now Jacob Trouba twice, so this, I don't have very much of a range, but I thought the first one against the Penguins, I didn't see that one being very dirty. This one felt
not very dirty.
Well, I mean, if you want to go ahead, I see his arm was up, but it didn't seem like, to me, a dirty play has to have like a level of intent and so on.
Yeah,
this one, it looked like he was hunting for my man's head. Like he looked like he really like, it looked like if he was a linebacker, he needed to kind of like try to pull up or put his hands up or something like that. That was, it was nobody, it was no part of that.
So there's one angle that looks a lot worse than the other angle. And he does leave his skates and, or leaves the eyes. And he's using his elbow, but he is falling, right? Tell me, he is falling. But the fact that it's an elbow every time, like, which is the most devastating elbow in sports, Jack? Is it Trouba? Is it Karl Malone's? Is it like Macho Man? Is it Dusty Rhodes? Like, who's got the elbow?
I don't want to indulge conspiracy theories, but they're all the rage this millennium. So why should I be any different? I don't think this is about Jacob Trouba. Mm-hmm. Have you seen those Venom movies? Are you aware of symbiotes? Like your boys aren't into the Spider-Man lore and everything. There's a symbiote that has come from outer space and it envelops a person and it takes over his body. It's like a parasite, but it tells you what to do. I think maybe the Venom symbiote is on Jacob Trouba's elbow.
Really?
Not the whole body. Like, poor Jacob Trouba. He's an innocent bystander. He's just trying to play hockey. Yeah. He just wants to, you know.
I think you're trying to be funny.
He
you
wants to contribute to his team, but that dang elbow keeps betraying him, keeps attacking people. Meatballs, I don't know
do
what
know
goes
what
on.
Talking
I feel
about.
Bad for Trouba because his name is being dragged through the mud over and over and over and over again because that elbow keeps hitting players who are better skilled
than
he is.
Why can't he bring this up?
Over and over and over and over again. And this poor guy, this poor guy has to suffer all the slings and arrows because this nasty elbow keeps hitting people in the head.
Meatballs, you didn't even think it was a dirty hit.
I didn't think it was too dirty.
very dirty.
Dude, I know. Yeah, right. Qualifier.
Which one was more dirty?
Well, the Farley kid said, it's like, hey, he's a dirty player. What are you going to do? But he's on your team, right? So you're going to embrace it a little more. And as you pointed out, Checkford says something emotionally based about hockey, which makes it like you absolutely have the blinders on in terms of what
I always try to go to the third party.
Like, yeah, but
the
even third parties are split on this one.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Meatballs, your opinion on the Venom symbiote theory?
Oh, yeah.
That's a conversation for Eddie. He's a Marvel guy.
I mean, but am I right, though? That elbow keeps hitting people. It's not we're making it about the guy. It's just one little part of his body.
You think he's aware of this? Why wouldn't he bring it up in the press conference, the subsequent press conferences? Like, hey, it isn't me. Or do you think it's just completely...
You probably don't know much about Venom.
Something.
Venom controls your mind, too. So maybe it controls what his words are the game.
Okay. But they are... they're going to play, nonetheless, Game 5, Martin. Hurricanes minus 156. Rangers plus 130. Check, you said go with the flow with these totals. I'm going under 5.5. 14 goals in the last four games in the four game series. I think three were empty netters. Igor Shesterkin, he's been excellent. He stopped 93 out of his last 96 and some good ones too. Not lame 96 shots. I kind of like Carolina here, but and you know what? There's a saves prop on FanDuel, but it's not right up. They usually put it up a couple hours before. I would go Igor over saves if they have it, because I think they're going to come at him.
It's a good idea.
Oh, actually, they do have it here. What do you think? What do you think is over under saves is?
I'll go 27.5.
It's 30.5. They juice it up because he's like I said, stopped 96 in the last three games. So I would go over there. It's just easier to take the under. I like Carolina, but I'm just going to take the under here. Minus 144. Sebastian Aho has been stifled. 3-1 final.
You know, I mean, got to point out that the Canes win every game at home and they lose every game on the road. Also, I mean, so I guess you should be inclined, if you want to ride the wave, go with the Canes playing on home ice. The thing that's weird, though, I'll go against that and say this. The Rangers at plus 470 to get to the finals, they're 6 wins away. The Lightning are 4 wins away. Yeah. The Canes are 6 wins away. And the Rangers are, for some reason, plus 470.
That's not bad.
I guess FanDuel is looking at the fact that the Canes don't lose at home and they have 2 more home games, ergo they should survive. But it still is a weird number. And if I were a Blue Shirts person looking to make a little bank, you should definitely put something on that. Plus 470 to get to the final, right?
To get to the finals.
Yeah.
So they're 12-1 to win it. To get to the finals. Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's an odd number to me.
I got a conference winner. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong freaking page here.
But you know what? Yeah. I mean,
470, right?
Dave, if you like, a lot of times they're late futures for different reasons. And a lot of times just because a lot of people are betting mad on the other team, right? Or other different teams, like the Brooklyn Nets were the top 3 favorite to win the East.
Right.
And up until they weren't, right? Up until game 2 of the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Yeah.
So, like, if you see value there, like, you could have got Boston 6-1 to win the Eastern Conference, and now they're one game away.
Check. Do even better. Pick a Western winner. Pair them with the Rangers. You got a dance partner there. You got Rangers Avs is plus 815.
Well, unlike the NBA, the unpredictability of the Campbell Conference, nay, the Western Conference.
Well, then take Rangers Edmonton plus 1800.
I don't know how to feel.
Take both of them. Who cares?
The just Oilers the feel like, well, that series is over. Then Hench gets in my head and he's like, wait, where are you on your Flames? You've been with them all year. And I said, you're right. I can't betray them now. I have to take the Flames at least tonight on the money line, but that's not juicy enough for Dave. So I think I have to turn back to the totals here and say Flames on the money line over 6.5. That's my point.
They don't move this number.
It's weird.
All the player props are going over. Dreisaitl's over. McDavid's over every single game, and they don't. And the goal total stays at 6.5.
Canes Rangers. They modify. It's now down to 5.5. And as you said, it did hit last week. Yeah. I said that 2-game total parlay on Monday, and that one hit. So I should run that one back. I don't know. Something's got to give. Canes can't just win every game at home and never win on the road. But I don't know.
So your play of the day is the Flames and the over? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm saying Flames, yes.
Yeah. And the over.
And the over.
With a little parlay.
Because you know why? Because it's what I want. I want that series to go on. We need another one. The games have been... The minus one wasn't so great, but
all right.
But Connor McDavid, the best player in the world, playing like the best player in the world, is a lot of fun, and you should check the series out.
And I hope it gets to Edmonton, Colorado, because that'll be a barn burner. All right, so Martin, what's your play today?
I'm taking the Warriors minus two in the first quarter because I think they'll jump out.
Did it go to two? I saw 2.5. Don't try to cheat us here.
It was two when I wrote it down.
You can write down anything, really. All right. We'll
is
figure
it 2.5?
Out. Well, I don't know.
Whatever it is, I'm taking the Warriors to win the first quarter by their spread because, I mean, I don't know. I don't really feel like you have to really explain why you should take any team to win the first quarter by five, by more than 5 points.
Right.
If you've watched any of these games.
Yes. So
I'll leave it there.
Warriors minus 2.5, minus 108. All right. I'll go baseball. Trevor Story to score a run. They lost. The Red Sox. I do think they pick it up a little bit here. They lost to the White Sox. Nothing yesterday. He took the collar 0-for-4, but before last night's game, he scored a run in 7 of his last 8 games. He was named the player of the week on Monday, raised his average from 190 to about 230. Maybe he's down to 226 now. Trevor Story. We're going to see some Trevor Story type games coming up. Red Sox salvage this series probably, but I like Story right there, even minus 110. Let's take a break, and then we're going to get into some good ideas about the NFL as Pro Bowl. All right, we're going to talk NFL here. There was a story that the Pro Bowl could be eliminated. Is this right, Babyface? The NFL is considering other options, and I don't think anyone would have a problem with this. The players get a free trip to Hawaii.
Not anymore.
It's not even Hawaii anymore?
No, they moved it around.
They were,
right.
They were in Orlando.
That's right. All right. So it's at a desirable destination, nonetheless.
Orlando?
Right? It isn't? Was it Orlando last year? No, that was Vegas.
It was for sure Orlando. All right. It was Vegas last year.
Number one, move the shit back to Hawaii. Okay? That's good. But yeah, there's, you know, and Funhouse is good. He'll show like, what? We're going to miss this. And he'll have a clip of Le'Veon Bell in 2016 with a 3-yard run and getting hugged in the hole and the whistles blow. So that's not it. So you can't have tackle football and not have tackle football. Do we agree on that?
I mean, everybody has been on board with that. Raj is the one who has stood in the way of that for too long.
Raj from What's Happening?
Yeah. Hey, hey, hey.
What the hell?
Yeah. Do you want me to do the rerun dance? I can do it.
Yeah. I was a Dwayne guy, but go ahead.
Were you? I know.
D is the best,
of course. I think if you watched it all, I think you know.
Martin, that. You missed out on that, I think. You don't know what we're talking about.
Well,
great show.
D is a top 5 funny supporting cast member in the history of
Sorry, Saint this House. Is Old Man and Cast, but we're about to jump into Old Man and Cast even more on my take on what we should do. But go ahead. What should we do? Well, I mean, because nobody wants to watch anybody tear their ACL playing non-tackle football. Right.
Contact sports do not need all-star games. And hockey has kind of gone that way, too. They don't touch each other in hockey games anyway. But football is what we're talking.
Yep.
It's what I've said now. You heard me say this for 20 years now. The answer is so obvious. Do away with this bum game and instead play the two bummest teams in the league. 1-2, worst records, play each other.
Hmm.
The winner gets the first overall pick in the draft. Now we're talking. Now, here's what cynics say. Peter King once said this when I brought this up to him. Name drop about 15, 20 years ago. I floated this idea to him. He said, but what incentive does the incumbent quarterback have?
Yes.
Right. Why would he win the game if presumably in the QB league, you're going to draft his replacement? Yeah. I don't know. Same thing as like, well, we're a run-based team and we're playing in the playoffs, the best run defense in the league. Hey, coach, figure it out. That's not my job to tell you what your strategy should be. But
I think you need to address that. I think that's a legitimate point. I don't think it's I don't know.
Go ahead and take. But you know why? Because if you ask pro football players, how do you get up for a game when your team is 1-11. Like what incentive do you have? They said, because I'm putting it on tape and I want to play after this year.
All right.
And if I tank the game, then no one's ever going to sign me.
What would that look like? It would be Jared Goff again. Who would it have been this year?
It would have been
Jags and Lions.
Right. Okay.
And people say, who would care about that game? Answer, every single person who likes watching football. As though people wouldn't tune in to see who gets the first overall pick.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I've talked to guys like Sean O'Hara about this, the former Giant, and he balks because you would never get the NFLPA to sign off on that. What incentive do you have for playing? Same thing as the Pro Bowl or playoff games. You get paid to play in it. That's what your incentive is. We're going to give you an extra $40,000 for playing in this game. I don't think you'll get much resistance once you do that. This is a banner idea. Play it on a burnt out JV field where they deserve to be because they're bum teams. And that's it. And right, I'd love to hear.
I think there's a lot. There's holes to get there, but I agree. There's going to be a lot of these ideas. What's your idea?
Speaking of name drops, I didn't know this existed until Chris Carter showed me this on his phone. But I want to bring back athletes playing other sports. The 92 Foot Locker Dunk Contest had Michael Irvin, Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., and Chris Carter. While we'll continue this episode of the Old Manny Cast with a special appearance from me. But watching... Young.
Yeah, I'm going to go even further back.
But I was 3 years old when this happened.
That's your problem.
Don't remember. I don't have the memory or the institutional knowledge behind it. But I think it would be cool to see like offensive and defensive linemen doing a dunk contest. Mm-hmm. I think that we would be surprised to see. I think the average person would be surprised to see the athleticism that some of these guys
have. I guess, but dunk contests suck. Because of the scoring.
It's just, even
with the best players.
Dunk contests suck because we're expecting people who are like, because we expect the Donovan Mitchells of the world to be able to nail it from the free throw line.
All right.
Like, if Aaron Donald came through and did a 360 dunk, I feel like everybody would be like, yo, how did he just do that? He's Aaron Donald.
Marty, little advice. Go on YouTube. See if you can find ABC Superstar.
Hold on. This is my thing.
Oh, okay.
I just want to expand on it because I think that could be one event. ABC Superstars and Battle of the Network Stars. Both ABC, right? Which I think the Pro Bowl, I wasn't even sure where the Pro Bowl was, but I think it's still ABC ESPN, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Just make that nice little pivot. Shaq, it was some of the greatest moments of our childhood. It is weird that some of the great sports, most memorable sports moments of our childhood were from these two shows. Robert Conrad, right? Gabe Kaplan running the relay race. That was a big
thing. We met Tom Selleck, really, before Magnum P.I. Actually premiered. That was on. It was like, who is this? Oh, he's going to be the star of the big new show on CBS.
Yeah.
Magnum P.I.
Those were the network stars pitted against each other. The superstars were stars in various sports competing against each other.
Not like guy, he's in the NFL. No. It was Tony Dorsett. It was Lynn Swann. It was the best athletes in the best sports.
Yeah. Ronaldo Nehemiah scaling the wall without using the rope was a big, big, big moment. Benchmark moment. That was big. The Conrad race, throw some Evel Knievel stunts in there. I know it's not what we're talking about. Those were as big as any actual sporting event that we could remember in the early 80s.
Yeah, Heather Locklear and the dunk tank and all that cute stuff with Howard Cosell calling the action. Let's
bring
not forget
it back.
That linchpin.
Howard Cosell.
But
do the
Marty
sports.
And otherwise, look this up on YouTube. It was, and like Sal saying, it was all sports. It wasn't a dunk contest. It was like, closest to the pin. They bowled.
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
Bicycles.
I have it right here. This is superstars. 100-yard dash, 800-meter run, obstacle course, weightlifting, bowling, rowing, tennis, basketball, bicycle racing, and swimming. Martin, throw your idea in there for the dunk contest. Maybe take a few of these out. Maybe add some. And you got yourself a great competition. You got yourself a great weekend. That, and then do a foolish one, too. Like chicken wing eating. That's part of the obstacle course, whoever can eat 10 first and then hop a wall and then bottle flipping and fidget spinning. I don't know, but 2022 it up if you have
to. Do it drunk. Yeah, right, whatever.
Do it up. But there's one serious sports competition. Then there's one silly one. That's a great weekend. That's in place of the Pro Bowl. That's what I'm
saying. And of course, as you mentioned, the signature event was not the existing sports. Rather, you know what they would was the obstacle course where they would jump a wall, swing on a rope across water
that's
and all
that. That's what I'm saying. Nehemiah.
But do you remember they would also do team competitions? They would do the Yankees against the Steelers and the Steelers against the Cowboys.
Right.
And they would do a tug of war. The whole team would do a tug of war against each other. Oh, it was positively captivating.
Martin's falling asleep. All right.
And they would do the rowing. They would go out in the sea.
Shaq,
and they'd row with boats against each other.
Honestly, I wasn't falling asleep. I was just thinking that.
Napping.
Well,
I'll say full. Not like a full sleep. I think you could have woken yourself up.
I think that you guys will probably agree with this take, but I think that sports were better in like before. Like, I don't have a date. I'll find a date.
1954.
No, but like, no, I like better, like before like 1997 or eight or something like that, where like the idea, like there's no like icky shuffle now. There's no,
it was fun.
There's
was
no, bad, the song that the Bears had. I can't remember the 85 Bears.
Super Bowl shuffle.
There's none of that.
Everything
there's,
shuffle. Yeah.
Well, there's no battle of the TV stars. Like, could you imagine?
The 2022 version of this is watching Tom Brady golf, which I can give a shit about.
Like, yeah. Really? Like, they don't honestly. Have any, and it's presented by Capital One. Let's go. Right. Like, sports used to be a lot more fun.
It's because of, well, it's a point I've been revisiting quite a bit the last few weeks. It's provincial pride. Because the rosters are so fluid now because of free agency, which of course you support if you're a human being, that people should have the freedom to go where they want to go and play. But as a fan, yeah, it
I think that we could find enough fun guys to do this, right? Tyreek Hill's always wants to run against like an animal. Like, you know, I think it's fine. All right, let me ask you this though. I'm going to read you five names. One of these guys didn't win the Superstars competition. All right.
Okay.
Martin, you could guess, but it would be a complete guess. Sheck might have a little knowledge here because he was alive during it. Willie Gault, Ronaldo Nehemiah, Mark Gastineau, Art Monk, Herschel Walker, who did not win.
Well, that's interesting. Art Monk makes no sense to be on that list, so he had to have won it. Mark Gastineau being on that list makes no sense, so he had to have won. You named the two Olympic athletes turned pro football players at the top. Makes sense it could be one or the other there, but I'm going to go with the big new senatorial candidate there, Herschel Walker.
I was about to say that was going to be my guess because as many reasons as Dave just made, Herschel Walker's in the news today.
Herschel Walker won in 1987 and 1988. Willie Gault won in 1989 and 1990. Ronaldo Nehemiah, this is something, won in 81, 82,
what the hell made you invoke Art
and
Monk?
86. Art Monk is the answer. Yeah, well, Gastineau, too. I thought that would throw Gastineau 85. So there you go.
Mark Gastineau. I Mark guess he Gastineau did well in the weightlift.
85.
Must have been dynamite at the tennis.
It's crazy that Nehemiah won 3 years in a row, then took a couple years off, and then won in 86.
You're not going far enough back when our guys were winning. Lynn Swann and Tony Dorsey.
Didn't win.
What?
Didn't win. OJ's up there. He won in 75.
OJ who?
McDuffie. Kyle Rowe Jr. Howard? 76 and 77. Greg Pruitt, 79. Charles White. None of I know. You would think some of the
Son
guys.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
88.
And it went to 94. And then 98, 99. Yeah, they skipped some years and then it was done in 2003. Bring it back. Bring it back instead of this nonsense. There you go. Kaepernick worked out for the Raiders yesterday. What kind of odds you put on him making that team? Martin,
I have since 2017. I didn't think Kaepernick was going to play again in the NFL.
Because of politics or because of ability?
Of politics.
I know politics, but now at this point, ability's got to. It's not his fault that it's been many, many years removed.
Yeah, I mean the window. I felt like the ship has sailed. I don't have any problem with him going and working out and doing. You know, if he wants to go throw at Michigan Pro Day, I don't have a problem with that or any going to work out for the Raiders. Hell, I'd go work out for the Raiders if they called me to come.
Babyface Joel Solomon just sent me a text. I'm going to read what's on it, and then I'm going to send he gave me his phone. I'm going to read what's on it, and then I'm going to send a filthy text to his wife. But on Colin Kaepernick's workout with the Raiders, sounds like it went well, and he impressed. The door is open. What's the odds?
I mean, plus 4 to 1, 5 to 1.
Whoa. All right. So no minus 700. Shaq, is there a chance?
I certainly think there's a chance.
I'll say a little tighter.
Forgive the cynicism. I think the Raiders could use a little
would be
good
them.
PR.
Right.
I think it would be a good story. And there are not a ton of football markets where that would go over from where we sit. It seems like, well, yeah, I am kind of with Marty or largely with him that what evidence is there that you can not play the game for 5 years and then jump back in?
Yeah, that's still gonna be tough.
He could have been doing anything for the last 5 years. And I would be like,
he can work out all he wants. It doesn't. Yeah, but wait, there's no evidence that would work.
Conspiracy theory Martin is interested, though, because apparently this workout happened. Like, for this workout got announced, and then it was like, wait, it already happened? And then all of a sudden, like, he was impressing in it today, right? But if you just look at the timeline of yesterday, John Gruden goes into Vegas District Court.
Yeah.
And his case doesn't go to arbitration against the NFL. It goes, it's going to be eventually, it's going to go to discovery. Mm-hmm. Then 35 minutes later, the Raiders work out Colin Kaepernick.
Why can't you just believe everything on its face? Why?
I didn't even have time to finish lunch in between, you know, the stories breaking. So the antenna went up.
All right, guys, we discussed a lot. Ray Liotta died, 67. That sucks. That sucks. Because now it's like, I mean, that's my favorite movie of all time. I think it's definitely the one I watched, Goodfellas, I'm talking about. And he was the star of it. And portraying Henry Hill, of course. And now it's like, at the age where our favorite players from our teams growing up, actors from our movies, Gary Carter, you know, many years ago now, Gary Carter, but Ray Liotta, say some words about both of you on Ray Liotta. Damn.
Well, I mean, I think it's a cool thing. And you almost feel bad that you see a lot of social media as we record grabbing images of him from Goodfellas. And I guess that is something that any of us would love, right? That any human being, it's like, yeah, are you reducing his life to one thing? Mm-hmm. Not bad to reduce it to. Yeah, he was the star of maybe the greatest movie of all.
Yeah, I'm with right? you.
But he also had, I will say, a sneaky great run. Goodfellas is one of his first movies, and something wild. I think people who know it love it. It's a great one. He plays a super scary boyfriend guy. That's one of his very first, I think his second movie, and then Goodfellas and Field of Dreams, and dang, I can't find the other one. But anyway, his four of his first movies.
The Muppet movie?
Are gems. What's that?
The Muppet movie he was in, right?
Well, he was in that. And
he must
then
have
he...
to talk about Wild Hogs, right? Him and Travolta?
I'm not talking about Wild Hogs. I'm not.
You
I'm
sure? Not that one.
But yes, Field of Dreams is a
Cop
gem.
Copland, I love. Muppets from Space. Unlawful Entry was underrated. It's really good there.
Yeah, that's a weird one. That's when Madeline Stowe, was the go-to for Foxy... Yeah. Leading woman.
Yep. So he's gone.
You know who she's married to?
Colin Kaepernick?
No, that would be nice because that would make it all tie together, but that's not the answer as it happens. She's married to Brian Benben from Dream On.
Oh, really? Right. Interesting. Well,
that disappointed when I heard that, like, Madeline Stowe could be with any man on planet Earth and she chose the guy from Dream On? Doing the creepy,
end up with
awkward
Trouble.
Sex scenes every week in the great shows.
I actually just exposed the girlfriend to Goodfellas. She had never seen it like 2 weeks ago.
Babyface was busy slapping himself around watching Brian Benben week after week. This is before DVR.
Is that right?
That's what he was doing. He was in his home, in the privacy of his home on Friday nights watching Benben make time with girls for 20 seconds and slapping the bejesus out of himself.
I got to say, for Ray Liotta, though, he's one guy who, whenever I see somebody who plays, like, a iconic role, like Henry Hill, every time I see him somewhere else, it's like, oh, there's Henry Hill in No Sudden Move with Don Cheadle. He was able to transcend his, like
He didn't get typecast. Yeah.
You know the last role that he played in?
Was it the Sopranos movie?
He was Uncle Sal.
He was?
In Newark.
Oh, for God's sake. I forgot it was Uncle Sal. That's right. He played actually two characters in that, right?
He did. I never even saw the movie.
He played Moltisanti's father, and then they kill him out. They kill him off early, and so now he has to play the uncle in jail. I think they're like, yeah, we're paying you this much money. You're going to play two characters. We're not going to kill you.
He was good. He was good in that that picture. I don't know what The Lonely Lady is. That's his first movie, but then he goes Something Wild. Mm-hmm. Dominic and Eugene, by the way, shot in Pittsburgh, PA. A very nice little movie. And then Field of Dreams, then Goodfellas. Mm. Sweet, jeez.
Nice
what a way to come out
nice
of the
run,
gates.
Ray Liotta. Nice. A lot before the Shantrix days, for sure. hey, greatest laugh in movie history? Someone tweeted me. Does he have the greatest laugh in movie history from Goodfellas?
It's up
maybe.
It's
the Joker? There. He and the Joker, maybe? I don't know.
And as far as actor commercials go...
He would have been a good Joker.
The tequila commercial was good.
Which one?
As far as actors and commercials go,
yeah,
like the tequila commercial was pretty good.
It was solid.
It's not one that... It didn't get on your nerves. It didn't make you think, what are we doing here? Like, I got Sterling K. Brown on my TV right now, popping in and out of walk-in freezers. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
You know, like a big ticket hit, big parlays. I think I see Kevin Garnett all the time. Right. Yelling and screaming. No, Ray Liotta, he sat down with his tequila and he was cool.
Genuine.
And I can appreciate
that. Yep.
67. Karen. I
he needed that money, Karen.
What are you doing, Karen? That's all we had. And that's all we had.
We talked about it with Ham about is Draper. Where does Draper rank?
Oh, smokers.
Great smokers in movie history. Is Henry Hill, is Liotta's right. Henry Hill. He's got to be on that shortlist
and
as well.
And like I said, he did those Chantrix commercials. Yeah,
burn a nail.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, take me to jail. That's his line.
Who had a better setup before Ray Liotta and Henry Hill ruined it than Paulie? My man only talked to two or three people on the phone and was in charge of everything. That's got to be the best.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be the best.
He almost didn't take that that role. He's like, I don't know if I could pull this off. I don't know if I could be serious enough. But
oh, really?
He did it. Yeah. His agent actually convinced him. Oh, I love the Goodfellas history. All right. Anyway, we did it all, Sheck. We did Battle Network stars. We did superstars. We fixed the Pro Bowl. We gave our play of the day. Went over the NHL, NBA. All of it. We'll be back next week. You have a -3 out right now. By the way, speaking of movies, what was your question? Oh, the saddest movie? This was the other day.
Oh, yes. We can dig in on that later. I don't, you know, events, I don't know if I'm being too precious, but I thought like with real world stuff, I don't know how much I want to talk.
All right. We'll talk about it next week.
Saddest, not worst movie death. Gotcha. Saddest movie death. Right. So I do want to hear your thoughts.
We'll do that.
I got one on for TV.
All right. Hold on to that one.
I'll tell you one. I'll just tell you one that somebody tweeted at me from Pittsburgh, PA. Wilson, the volleyball.
Oh, really?
Whatever the hell that thing.
That's
whatever
excellent.
Kind of ball that was.
That's
it was pretty good. It was a pretty sad death.
I will say this as a spoiler. You picked like three boxing movies, deaths in boxing movies, and you didn't even get the best one.
What the hell? I said Creed. Showed up for an exhibition.
Apollo Creed, not the movie Creed.
No, Apollo Creed.
Yeah, but he had it coming.
What are you talking about? What do you have coming?
He was arrogant about it. He was like, all right, I want to fight. Like, oh, all right. And now you know this is wrong, whatever. It's like, we can get into it. We'll get into it next week. Martin.
Man lost his life.
Lemon Pepper Parlay. You and Mark Gunnels in this very room screaming at each other about post-up players. It still holds. I know it was Tuesday's episode, but
it's evergreen
now.
Because it's an all-time bad take by Mark Gunnels.
Oh, wow.
You know what it is? Sometimes this is what happens when you watch too much debate television. Mm-hmm. You're hanging on every last word. And as soon as somebody says something, they're like, top 10? Huh? What?
That's it.
And that's really what happened.
Take it easy. He's just a kid from Kansas.
Is that true? I didn't know that. How the hell are we supposed to know that? All right.
I told him to go back last episode. That was the last time we had a good NBA. He was in Kansas City?
Yeah, I guess so.
We were out here. I guess, man. Go back.
Lemon Pepper Parlay, you got Gunnels, you got Martin Weiss, you got -3 with Sheck and Eddie Spaghetti, who's now in Hawaii. I don't know if we'll ever see him again. And Kevin Hench, that's out there. Against the Laws, we'll be back tomorrow to go over the weekend games. The Megans, they talk about, they talk about penis size and quarterbacks and stuff like that. I don't want to give it away, but go listen to that. Megan Fun of Sports.
Gailey was very excited about the
free agency. Yeah, and the free agency and everything coming back to Indianapolis. Reminded everyone out there, you make feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.